Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, August 13th, 2020. Let's say hello to one of our favorite guests who joins us every week throughout the football season, Coach Gary Barnett. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm a little baffled. How about you guys? Mm-hmm. Well, who knows what this is going to look like?
Coach, that's me every morning, just baffled by everything. There's no better guest to have on the show than you to talk about this. You have coached in the Big Ten. You've coached in the Big 12. You've been a head coach for Colorado, who's in the Pac-12, and so you understand how this impacts the nation when it comes to college football. And so let's just start with your reaction to the news that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were postponing the college football seasons.
Well, I thought both were a little premature. I was a little surprised, more so about the Big Ten than I was the Pac-12. But like the interview just with Bowlesby that you guys just played, it's a good thing that conferences can call their own shots, because he's right. You know, different parts of the country have different issues, and I think thankfully for those schools in the Big 12 and the SEC and ACC, you know, they're not stuck with a single decision made by the NCAA, that they can, because their situation's different, they can go ahead and carry on and have a season, or at least start a season, despite what's going on somewhere else. And I think that freedom is really important. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate the Big Ten, I think at one point, was trying to and hoping that when they dropped, that everybody else would also cancel their schedule. And I think it's very interesting that the other three did not drop, and that they had the right, and they stood up for that right and went ahead and played. Now, is it the best thing to play? I don't think we're not going to know this until January, if it's the best thing to play this fall, because as we all know, since February, life has been fluid and unpredictable, and I think the same thing with the football season. It's going to be the same way, but the Pac-12 does have, they've got a more dire situation, and I think when you look at the heart of the Big Ten, with Detroit and Chicago, they've got a dire situation. So that part of the country, their situation does not dictate what everybody else has to do, and I think that's a freedom that we enjoy, in thankfully now in college football, but certainly in this country.
It's interesting to me though, Coach, because like listening to Bob Bowlesby talk there about the hot spots in Southern California and Northern California, I'm looking at these maps. This one, I'm looking at one at the Texas Tribune, and Austin, Texas, and Dallas, Fort Worth are every bit as hot spots as Southern California, if not more so right now. And that's like where a huge balance of the Big 12 is, and the numbers in Florida and Georgia are every bit as bad as they are in Texas. It seems like this is more about what the conferences are either hearing from their doctors in terms of different data, or just maybe what they're who's making the decisions, doesn't it, in terms of what the actual hot spots are?
Yeah, but I think, Nate, that's been pretty much true all over since this thing started. Every state's made a different decision. Every governor's made a different decision based on, the numbers are moving constantly, and the interpretation of what the numbers mean are moving constantly. And so, in 10 years from now, we'll find out what was really right and what was really wrong. Because we don't know right now. I mean, it seems like it's a very educated guess on everybody's part. And then you have to decide, whoever's in charge of either organizations, states, or programs, how you interpret that information. And so it's tough. But I do think that having the right to have your interpretation is important, and that's sort of what's happened here. And we're going to find out whether the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC were right in what they did or wrong. There was really an interesting piece on the ESPN this morning. I don't know if you guys saw it, about the pandemic in 1918 and how flexible college football was at that time. And you know, teams would start a season, they'd drop a season, they wouldn't even. Missouri, for example, practiced every day, played inter-squads, never played a game. Other teams played a 12-man schedule or 12-game schedule. It's really interesting, but of course, at that time they were just traveling by bus, and you know, they didn't have all the headaches that we have now, and the salaries and the TV and all that didn't have to go with them. But it was interesting to see how adaptive college football was in 1918.
Do you think it's a viable option to postpone the season and play college football in the spring?
It's a good question, and everybody's throwing that one around. And I have to say that if people think it can work, then it must be viable. There's all sorts of complications. I was just thinking about, how about if you're a TV network and you're trying to cover football, college football, and college basketball at the same time? You know, how many people would have to be traveling, and how many different you know, they have to hire, you know, twice the number of people on their staff to cover all that stuff. It seems like it's overwhelming, but we've got 3 or 4 months to plan it and work it through. And, you know, one thing that this whole thing has proved, or at least jumps out to me, is how quickly people can adapt and how creative they are, and how... You know, if you really want to find a way to make it work, you'll make it work. So, you know, I'd say it's just complicated, Stephen, and probably when we look at it now and think about how it could work, it seems overwhelming. But as people go to work on it and creativity surfaces and people find ways to make it work and we adapt, you know, we're so used to everything going on the same way, the same time, the same calendar, everything, that we sort of, you know, got lulled into that. But I think that if they want to make it work, they can. I think what you'll see if there's a spring season is most of your seniors won't play. I think that, and if they do play, they'll only play 3 or 4 games. And so, because if you're interested in the NFL, you want to play a couple games so everybody sees you, perhaps, and then you're gonna opt out and get ready for the draft and make sure that you're healthy for the draft. And I think you'll see a lot of freshmen playing because they will have been in school for maybe a year, some of them. But I think most of your really good players that are seniors or kids that are hoping to go out early will either not play a season at all or play a limited season.
Coach, one of the coaches in the Big Ten, Purdue's coach Jeff Brohms, said that he could see a 21 football season working out in terms of the playing 8 games in the spring and then reducing the subsequent fall down to 10 games. Because one of the things that I've heard people say is, hey, if we're gonna postpone the whole fall season because of player safety, how can you then turn around and say it's going to be safe for players to play a full season in the spring and then just a couple months later play a full season in the fall? You as a coach have been through all this. You know what it's like to coach spring practice compared to playing in real games. Do you have any concerns about player safety if you did something like that, play 8 games in the spring and then turn around and play 10 games, say, in the fall?
No, I think that's very doable, and I think that's something like that. Not sure those are the right numbers. But you got to remember, Nate, it was just a few years ago. Well, it seems like a few years ago when you're my age, anyway. that we had 20 practices in the spring, and not only we had 20 practices, but if it rained one day, you can cancel that one and redo it at another time. You know, we've been put on the colleges have been put on a 15-day limit, and they can only, you know, there's restrictions about how long they can take because of their concern of just playing a season, studies, those sort of things. So if you don't have a fall season, then, you know, you can be a little more liberal with what you do in the spring. And I think as long as you do it early enough, and really it isn't spring, it's winter in some places, but as long as you do it early enough that you could still put together a fall season. And who's to say fall has to start in August? You know, I mean, that's we've all got used to starting it the last week or last third week in August because everybody's so eager to play. We've been so, you know, let's get it going. So who's to say you couldn't start September 1st October 1st or the third week in September? So you could buy yourself some more time at that end of it as well. So I think a combination of those things that I'm mentioning and the things that Brohm mentioned, Coach Brohm at Purdue, I think those are very doable, absolutely.
Gary Barnett's our guest, and so for a while there, everything was pointed towards the Big 12, waiting for them to make their decision to see if they were actually going to try to make this happen. And for the time being now, the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC are moving forward. And look, we listened to comments yesterday from Gene Taylor at K-State and Bob Bowlesby and Eli Drinkwitz, and they're all moving forward and saying the right things about playing football this fall. When you see everything that's going on and hear the different things that are being said in your gut, do you think this is going to happen? Do you think we're going to see college football this fall?
You know, I think you're going to see it start. I'm not sure from that point on what's going to happen. It's just when you get all the kids back on campus and college life resumes and you think you're going to put it to an end, stop it the way it's been. I think that's foolish. But, you know, I think it's too unpredictable. But I could, in my gut, I sort of see it starting and maybe not being able to finish. But I do. It does look like to me it's going to start. And, you know, you're in a part of the country where three of the four around you are going to play. Nebraska's, you know, they're lobbying to play, and I'm not so sure that they're not going to play. They're going to, I think that's an interesting one we can talk about here in a minute. But, you know, where I am, nobody's playing. And it's, you know, it's not depressing, but it's sad. And so it's, you know, different parts of the country are experiencing different things right now. But my gut feeling is that when colleges start back up and students are back in school, that the numbers are going to spike again.
Let's get in this Nebraska question, because that's been a hot topic around here, because they're in, you know, the idea was thrown out there, hey, just have them come back and play a Big 12 schedule this year, and that has caused some people named Nate to be angry and be bitter and say, I don't want Nebraska back at all. They can stay gone.
I just want them to grovel for a little while before they
there
come back.
Go.
You know.
So tell me, what do you think is going to happen with Nebraska? Because that would be wild if you could see him play a Big 12 schedule or anything else. I mean, that's been one of the more interesting storylines.
Well, first of all, Nate's got to learn a lesson here that really nobody cares what he thinks.
And so, I'm reminded of that every day, Coach.
You know, you can. It's like golf. It's like golf. You can complain, but nobody cares,
right?
Where's Jake at? I feel like Jake is laying on the floor right now.
He's grabbing his side.
Coach, I've been saying that for 17 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make a T-shirt up and just put NBC on it.
Nobody cares, Nate.
That's right.
But the Nebraska thing, you know, I got information about 2 weeks ago that Nebraska, Penn State, and Michigan, and at that time Ohio State, are really seriously thinking about combining with either the Big 12 or somebody and playing a schedule. And when you look, you know, you're going to have BYU that wants to play. Notre Dame's going to play. frankly, you know, I think if Colorado could choose and Utah could choose, they would play. I'm not sure they can, but there's anybody. So there's some teams that'll play, and you know, you may be looking at a creation of a super conference coming up. You could see some movement in the near future with conferences, which, you know, we're due to have an earthquake, another earthquake and rumbling. This one would be about a 9.2 on the Richter scale. But, you know, we're sort of due for all that to happen, and this makes it easier, frankly, for it to all happen if this should occur, if Nebraska should decide to play with anybody, with the Big 12 or either one of the other conferences. But, you know, you could put together three pretty good conferences with the people who want to play, and that could be a little bit of what the future is going to look like.
So we actually have some kind of breaking news on this. This actually came out, this quote, while we were on the air with you, Coach. This is from the University of Nebraska Chancellor Ronnie Green. He put this statement out on Twitter, quote, "The University of Nebraska-Lincoln is a fully committed member of the Big Ten Conference. It is an unparalleled athletic and academic alliance. We have the greatest fans in college athletics. This has been a difficult and disappointing week for the Husker family. We all look forward to the day when we can cheer on our student athletes on the field and in the arena." Now, a lot of people are saying, see, look, Nebraska's falling in line. They're fully committed. And then I saw Dave Matter pointed out that a few years ago, Missouri put out a statement like this, fully committed to the Big 12. And 6 weeks later, they voted to explore leaving the Big 12. So is this one of those, like, when you get that that vote of confidence from your boss as a coach, you know that you're actually really in trouble? Or do you think they're really fully committed here?
I don't know. Who knows in that situation? But all they did was calm the waters a little bit, you know, with that statement. Who knows? I would not be surprised that it goes in a different direction than that. But who knows? But, you know, I think if there's one program that would and could, it would be Nebraska. I mean, they really could act as an independent in this whole deal. And in the end, turn into an independent. You know, if they could, especially if they could recreate what they used to have, and that's difficult. But if they could get back to where they were, they could operate as an independent, I think.
Gary Barnett's our guest. I'm just curious, because like I mentioned, you have ties to all these conferences, and you're the color commentator for Colorado football in the Pac-12 now. How would you have handled this if you were still coaching, if you were the head coach at one of these schools right now? Because that's got to be tough either way. It's a very difficult situation. And we've been listening to Eli Drinkwitz meet with the media quite a bit. We heard Chris Klieman speak yesterday. I'm just curious, what your stance would be and how you would handle this with your players if you were going through this situation right now?
Well, first of all, you got to be in lockstep with your administrators, and so you know, and these guys are all in meetings every day with presidents and chancellors and athletic directors, because it is such an important decision and it's such an important stance that you got to take together. And I think if you know, this will be interesting because Scott Frost came out and said just the opposite of what the president said within the last couple of days, a couple of times. So, you know, first of all, if I were the head coach again, and it would be when you're the head coach and you're in and you're going, you've gone through everything you have in the last 4 months or 5 months. You know, you see things a little differently. You're solving problems each day. When I sit here today and look at it from afar and not having been in the trenches for 4 months or 5 months, or in my case, 10 years, you know, it looks overwhelming. But when you're in it day to day, it's much different. You know, it's not overwhelming. It's the next problem you have to solve, and you go about your business that way. But most important is that you are conversing, communicating with your athletic director, your chancellor, your president, whoever's calling the shot at the very top, and that you guys have to be in lockstep. You've got to be in agreement publicly. So I think what a lot of it would have to be, as far, the question you ask me is, how's my athletic director feel about this? How's my chancellor and president feel about this? Am I going to have to fight them if we want to play? I'm not going to fight them. I'm going to talk in meetings and try to persuade. Or if I think it's best not to play, is that go against what they want to do? So I think that would be most important. And then, you've got a big counseling job to do with your players, because you've got players who want to opt out. You've got players who want to play badly. It's just one challenge after the other, and you just have to solve them one at a time as your day goes on. So most important is that communication with ADs and presidents.
Coach, I think the one thing we can all agree on, we're lockstep on, is nobody cares what I think.
There it is.
we can move forward with that.
You made a joke, but you don't think I'm going to be on the phone working on those T-shirts right after the show, Coach? That's a marketing goldmine right there, Coach. So we'll give you all the credit. Thank you so much for your time, Coach. Always great to talk to you. Hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon. And maybe pretty soon, I don't know, we'll talk about college football games. We'll see.
That'd be fun. All right, guys. Great being with you.
Thank you very much, Coach. And that's right. That would be fun. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not smart enough to tell you everything that's happening, but all I can tell you is I desperately want to see college football, man. I'm rooting for it to succeed. I hope it happens.
Yeah.
I really do. It's just...
He didn't sound too optimistic, though, did he? I mean, he sounded optimistic that they'll give it a shot.
Right, but just like he said, you don't know. No one knows.
Right.
You know, all you can do is... It's like I've done everything I can to proceed with optimism in my life, because it's just that's better for me. It just
Keeps
my mind right, and I'm optimistic, and I want to remain optimistic. I really hope we see college football, because I would love it, and I think it would be therapeutic for a lot of people, not only to take part in it, but to watch it and just again give us the normalcy that sports can offer and make you feel good for a couple of hours a day. We will take a break, back after this on WHB.